No.
All right, it's episode
37.
This is episode, it'll just be me talking, catching up on some stuff. And there is no guest because we have new equipment. We bought a brand new microphone. And if you go to my Instagram, you can see our brand new gold microphone. And so it has been a pretty good last 10 episodes or so. But I mean, it's been, this whole thing's been kind of fun and growing just to bring all the writers and artists in. Now people actually are calling us to be on it, which is kind of a weird thing. I mean, we used to have to beg people to come and be on this thing. And now we're getting emails, hey, is there any way X and Y can be in on it? So it's pretty cool to have to say, yeah, now we're just finding times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why can I not hear you?
Four?
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Turn yourself up, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You're the producer. So we're just going to do a half hour, kind of catching up on a lot of things. I had some notes I want to talk about. Last night, I went to the governor's mansion, which for me was really crazy because when you grow up in the state of Arkansas, like there are two people that are really cool. One's the weatherman on the news, and one's the governor. And it's like two people you'll never meet in real life, the weatherman and the governor. And so I got to go last night to the governor's mansion. And well, first I went to his office. I guess I'm – like I really don't know how things work in the way of where the Capitol is and what's in it and what's in the governor's house. And so I thought the governor lived – I guess I'm stupid – in the Capitol or right beside it. I thought there was like a part of it, like a wing, and it doesn't even look, it's not even that close. You had to get in a car and drive. Like I went to the state Capitol and the Arkansas state Capitol, which is really cool. I hadn't been there since like second or third grade on a field trip. Only time I'd ever been to the state Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and we sat in his office and talked for a while. And he, I think he wanted to know how serious I was. And I think he realized pretty quickly that it was very serious and not in a bad way. But he's only been governor for 2 years, and he still has another term to run. So I think he was wanting to fill me out. Because, you know, they know who's going to run the next time for the most part. Like, they know who's coming and who's not coming and who's a threat and who's not a threat. So I think when he had me in, he was really was trying to fill me out a little bit. And so I haven't announced yet what exactly I'm going to do. I had a discussion with him. I thought it was a really frank and open discussion about what I would like to do and what he is doing in certain areas, and I'm going to leave it at that, but I'll have an announcement soon. But it was good. Then we took Lindsay, my girlfriend, and we drove over to his house, and we had dinner. Now, here's where the crazy part came in, was Morgan, who now is the executive producer of the morning show for all intents and purposes. She has been running my calendar, my personal life, and she's kind of like moved up through that. Like, she started as an intern, and she came on as an intern. And then she, after she finished her internship, she got a job working somewhere else because we didn't have a spot for her. And then finally, when I got a spot, I hired her as a phone screener. And I said, I'm going to hire you back, I promise. And I hired her as a phone screener, but it wasn't enough because that job just, it's a part-time job. And so as a phone screener, then I was like, okay, I'll also pay you to run my life and manage my calendar because I'm never at home. And so she was doing that. And so she became half manager of Bobby's life and half doing some show stuff. Well, then she became a producer, and then she didn't have time to help out with me. So then I called Mike D, who's producing this, and I was like, hey, dude, come be the phone screener and help. So there's this whole, like, 80 people doing 80 different things, and Morgan's finally the producer. She's going away now. So I think a little bit her attention is gone from me and the personal stuff because she told me, don't wear a sports coat, and the dinner's not really for you. And I got there. I was the only one not in a jacket. Everybody had suits on, like head to toe. And two, it was from the whole dinner. You got there and the menu said, in honor of, and it had my name on there. And so it was like, I was a little embarrassed because I didn't think it was that going to be that formal. But it was super formal. They had the chef come out like after half of it and talk.
Oh.
And you give them applause. And it's like, yeah. And then he talks about the meal. And they had everybody signed the back of everybody's menu. So you take it and you sign it and you pass it around. And then it comes back to you. So everyone at dinner that night assigned the back of it. And I was sitting, the governor was sitting to my left at the head of the table. And to my right was a former governor's first lady. And he since passed away, but she was sitting there. And so it was very formal. It was very awesome. I felt a little like an idiot because I went into it just a shirt and a tie. And I guess whatever. It was really great. And then Lindsay went and played downstairs. They have a performance area where she went and did a huge piano, and she brought her guitar. They asked her to bring her guitar, and so she played, and it was really good. It was a really cool thing that I never thought in my life I would get to do. And then I decided, you know what? I want to go be the governor of Arkansas. And people are always like, what are your politics? And it's not that I have politics, but it's that I can – what do you eat? What's the dog eating? The dog is – we built this new studio, and so there's stuff on the floor everywhere, so the dog's eating it. It's like a shot vac because of all the new equipment that we have in here. Now, anyway, so are there any – Mike, do you have any questions about this at all? Because I know on the air we talked about it a bit and you weren't in on the bit.
Was it ever like awkward for you?
It was so formal at times that it was never awkward because the governor was so good at keeping things moving that it never got awkward. Not because of me. I felt out of place just because I was like with the speaker of the Arkansas House and the head of the District of Columbia Center of Government Offices. And, you know, I don't even know what these positions are. And they're like, let me introduce you to this person. And I'm like, I don't know what this means, but I guess you're a pretty big deal. But no, I think it was all good. One of the girls there, whenever I was probably 19, I think she was 15 or 16, I went and played at a basketball game at her high school as a DJ, because I was on the radio then. And she had a picture of us together. And I was 19 and she was 15 or 16. It was pretty funny because she brought it with her. And so that was funny too. But no, I don't think it was awkward. It's not for me. I don't care. But it was neat. And so we'll see what happens with that. Let me talk about... I just rolled out of bed. The good thing about having a studio in your house is that I get to roll out of my bed, and I have a Sleep Number bed, and I rolled over here and popped out and sat down, and here we are. And my Sleep Number, for me, of all the beds that I've had, and I got to be honest, I've only had a Sleep Number for the past 4 or 5 years, that it's by far the best bed because, for me, it kind of matches your back and your curves. And they say contours. I don't ever say contours. Contours feels like boobs. So, for me though, like my back and my shoulders, and like I laid on the bed in the store, and they were like, "Here is maybe why you're not sleeping as well, and here's the number we'd give you, and here's how we adjust your bed, and what your sleep number is." And so I'm a 30, and then your partner too. It's a perfect bed if you have a partner, a husband, a wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, sleeps in the same bed. And so let me say this: my sleep number setting is a 30. My sleep IQ, which is optional, and it too is awesome. Was in the 90s. Sleep Number store right now, say 50% on a limited edition bed. Queen C2 mattress now, $599.99. Find a Sleep Number in the 500 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one nearest you by calling 800-NEXT-BED and tell them that I sent you. Sleep Numbers are awesome. I have two, actually. One in my room and one in the guest room. Music I think is cool right now. Let's do this. This is Devin Dawson. The song's called All On Me, and the song's kind of the jam. You got my number, you can call on me. If you in trouble, put the fall on me. When you're mad, you can take it out on me. When it don't add up, you count on me. When you're low, come get high on me. Make it slow, take your time on me. Settle in, let it out, come and lay on me. When it gets heavy, put the weight on me. Baby, put it all on me. That's good. Devin Dawson. I wanna take you out on the town on my dime. Who does that sound like to you?
John Mayer.
A little guitar, John Mayer. To me, it kind of sounds like the lead singer of Blessed Union of Souls or Gavin DeGraw a little bit. Oh, I wanna hear all your fears and your troubles. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it. Like, I bought it. I like it. And so, there's music that I'm like, that's cool for the radio. And there's music like I just like and listen to on my own. And that's kind of what these are here. And so that Devin Dawson song's good. I have iHeartRadio All Access. Do you have that yet? They give that to you?
I don't have it yet.
They didn't give it to you?
No. I need it.
Oh, it's awesome, dude. And so I have that. And so this other song that I like is that Miriam Hill song, Down.
Yeah.
And it's the jam. Are you down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down. I like it when it kicks in, too. Down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down. Are you down, 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 down. This song to me is like Florence and the Machine meets Calvin Johnson. Like if I were trying to find how to describe that song.
Johnson or Harris?
Yeah, I say Johnson?
Yeah.
Not the receiver from the Lions. Calvin Harris. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's like Florence and the Machine meets Calvin Harris. I want to play. What's her name? Is that? By the way, I don't even know who that is. Is that a girl or? I assume it's just a girl.
Yeah.
It's not a band, right?
No. Okay. I think it's just her.
Miriam Hill. Is she British?
I think so. I haven't seen what she looks
like. It sounds almost too cool to be. It shows a girl and a dude in this picture, dude.
Really?
Look up. It's Marion, by the way.
Oh, Marion.
Or Marion. Marian Hill. I just heard the song. You know where I heard it? In the bathroom, and I Shazammed it as I was at a urinal taking a pee-pee. And I was like, that's a jam. And so I saved it. And so, here, yeah. See who Marion Hill is. Like, this is the whole thing here. So it just kind of sounds like it's a piano ballad. And like, all right. A little easy listening for you.
Didn't even really want to go. But if you get me out, you get a show. There's so many bodies on the floor. So, baby, we should go and add some more. Are you down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down. Down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down. Everywhere I look at people's hands, thrown up in the air to help them dance.
What's it say, Mike?
It is a duo.
It is?
Are you down, did it down?
That's confusing.
It is. Down,
Marion, down, down. Yeah, are they foreign?
They are. No, they're from Philly.
Oh, they're cool, whoever it is. Alright, so there's that. There's also this band called Shovels and Rope. Have you heard of them?
I have not.
Let me tell you, I was watching like Conan or something late at night. Couldn't sleep. And so I had it on TBS, and there's this group, and it looks like a hillbilly version of the White Stripes.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm very interested in this. The guy was up playing the guitar, and she was on the drums, just two people, and she was also playing the keyboard at the same time. So she was using the kick or foot drum,
yeah,
and she was hitting the snare with one hand, and she was playing the keys and hitting chords on the with her other hand. And it was just those two making all of it. And I was like, wow. And so they're called Shovels and Rope, and this is called I Know.
I know exactly where you're going next. I know exactly where.
Pretty cool.
Take it all.
If you like that rock and roll country. Steve Mokler has a cool song called Wheels.
But they don't slow down. The speed picks up. You start wishing you were young soon as you grow up. And the farther you roam, the faster they spin. They drive you away and bring you home again. I swear sometimes it feels like life's just a set of wheels.
Pretty cool. We'll get him in eventually. But I think Caitlin Smith wrote that with them because I think I hear her in the background singing on the chorus.
There?
I think so. I don't know that for sure. Listen.
Mom says he ain't got much.
Again, see if you hear her in the background.
But they don't slow down. The speed picks up. You start wishing you were young soon as you.
That's too light, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the farther you roll.
Well, those are some new songs I'm listening to right now that, like, I listen to personally. You know, the radio stuff, there's some good radio stuff, too. It's different, though. Like, some songs on the radio, I'm like, man, this song's good on the radio. But by the time it comes around, like, I've heard it 1,000 times. I don't listen to it anymore. It's just like, geez, can't take any more of that. I haven't been home in a few days. I've either been on the road. I think I'm only home two days this week. So, one, we're not having a guest this week. And two, since we have new equipment, we want to test it out and make sure it worked. So, it's also CRS week. So, every night this week, the two nights that I am here. And CRS stands for Country Radio Seminar. Have you been to one of these yet?
I haven't.
Are you going to do stuff?
I think so, yeah, later in the week.
You should. Well, it starts tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I forget what
tomorrow's
day it is.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, I know. And so, with Country Radio Seminar, like, program directors from all over America come into Nashville. And it's where they take all the artists, and they have showcases for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, maybe some Saturday, I'm not sure. Basically, it's a big drunken fest. PDs come in and get just hammered, and then they watch artists, and it's an excuse. Any company boss listening, like, I don't even know if I'd let my people come to this. But, yeah, country radio is still kind of weird where you have to, put like, take your people and suck up to every PD. Mm. So, but it's a big party. But for me, I don't party, and I go to bed at 8 o'clock. Maybe I'm just jealous. Maybe all I'm saying is that this because I'm just bitter that I don't go out and party. But so it's this week. And so even my label has a showcase. And since I don't have a record out, I'm not playing this year. But I'm going to go. But they are – we are doing a comedy special together, and I think I'm just going to go and say hello. I don't know – like, I don't know if Nikita's playing or not. She's not fully signed to that label, but she's on an artist development deal. But I'm going to do that. But CRS is crazy. You should do stuff because they have, like, a lunch, and it's at the – sometimes it's the Ryman.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, huge artists just show up and play.
I think that's what I heard about some lunch.
It's crazy because every huge artist just shows up and plays, like, two songs. Like, last year Stapleton showed up, and – yeah. It's like all the PDs going. It's always a blown away kind of thing. Like, what's been the coolest thing for you since you have moved here? How long have you been here?
I've been here like 8 months.
Hey, not even a year yet?
Yeah.
So what's been the coolest thing for you since you moved here, Mike?
I really think it's been doing this podcast and like learning from this and kind of getting to know everybody on this kind of personal level and never seeing any kind of side of the music industry like this.
Yeah, I think so. That's been a cool thing for me too because – in the radio world, you're just around record people mm-hmm. and artists. But because I have friends that are artists and I also write, I get to know some writers and then you meet them and you meet other writers through them and then you play and because I'm in a band and yeah. So it's a cool thing that we started and we get to bring in like the Natalie Himbys.
Yeah.
Which was a it was such a great interview and it's not a household name to people outside of the writer community in Nashville, but she's really, you know, wrote, you know, a lot of those Miranda songs and really is one of the reasons Miranda has been so great. And so, yeah, that's been a really cool thing. I'm really proud of where what this thing has turned into. We never really expected this thing to go, what are we, 38 in now?
Yeah.
And now we have sponsors and we encourage you to, if you hear one of the sponsors and you think it'd be cool for you, like take a part of it and type in the code because they'll keep sponsoring and we'll keep it going. The Washington Post did a story on this podcast and they put it on the front of the style page a huge picture of this podcast. Like I'm telling you, if you're listening right now to this, and this is only going to be a 30-minute one, so it's not even that long, Mike and I just grabbed some equipment from the house and set this thing up. The company never said, hey, you should start a podcast. You know, they do encourage, say, hey, do whatever you want from the studio, do extra stuff. But I wanted to do something different because I felt like listeners would like behind-the-scenes stuff. Yeah. And if they didn't, they didn't have to listen. It's not a ratings-based thing. And so everything that we use – these chairs are chairs for my house. Yeah. These computers are computers that I own. The board – I mean, all this stuff is that we had to buy ourselves. And I'm kind of happy because we just got to start it with our own rules and just kind of grow into what it is now. But don't think next time when my contract doesn't come up, you know, if I do stay in radio and I don't run for office, then I'm not going to be like, all right – I'll tell you something kind of – it's not weird. What, Dusty? What's he crying for?
I'm going to pet him, I guess.
is that I never have people at my house ever.
Yeah.
And now like once a week somebody comes to my house. And so what will happen is the artist will show up and I'm on the top floor of my house and where the studio is. And, you know, they'll come in. That means we have to have like a 10-minute talk downstairs. Like, then we come up here and we talk and we do an hour and 15 minutes. And then we have to talk like 10, 15 minutes on the way out. And by the time I'm exhausted, I'm just ready kind of for it to be over. But it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's a ton of work, but it's very time consuming. After you've been like for me, I've been, you know, up since 3 a.m. and did the show, and done 50 conference calls and whatever else project I'm meeting about that day. So anyway, this has been a really cool thing. Appreciate that. I'm on the road, and if you guys come out, and I'm going to be doing my Funny and Alone tour until May. We're looking to add more dates, but we're doing a special in May, and I can't really say much more about that, but we're doing a comedy special in May, and we have the theater in Wichita, the Orpheum, rented out 2 nights in a row because you do it 2 nights in a row, and you dress in the same exact clothes. That way you have 2 options. Hey, come here. That way you have 2 options for everything. So you go and you do it, and so it's like almost like a best of 2 nights thing. That's kind of the trick of specials. And so we're going to be doing that and more details about that. But I don't just want to do like – it's going to be stand-up, but I want to do like other stuff too. So I'm like trying to find a choreographer. And so I'm
You're looking into that?
Oh, no. I've already like started pricing them and dancers. And so I want this to be like a one-man stand-up comedy slash variety show at this point. And so I got to have – we have to have the sit-down meeting next week where I have it all gridded out.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, all right, this is what I want to do. And then and half of it they end up saying no to. And so you have to find – like I want a huge inflatable pair of glasses that's like 10 feet. I don't know if they make those. But we'll see. But anyway, that's coming up and that's really cool. And then I'm going to talk about this real quick. Blue Apron?
Yep.
I do have Blue Apron, by the way. It's downstairs. And they – what happens is you go to the website, right? BlueApron.com/BobbyCast. And let's say you've never checked it out before. Just go check it out. Check out the week's menu, and you get your first three meals for free with free shipping. BlueApron.com/BobbyCast. And for $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes with pre-portioned ingredients. You make these home-cooked meals, and it's meals that you would never even think you would make. And it's great stuff, too, because they have a culinary team there. Blue Apron's culinary team – they have recipes that are crazy, and they don't repeat them even within a year. Sometimes you'll never get bored, and they're flexible. And they have a recipe card that's step-by-step, and it's pre-portioned, and you get it, make it 40 minutes or less, and just depending on which one it is. And they promise the ingredients are great. And not all ingredients are created equal. They know that. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it is important to know where your food comes from. So Blue Apron, and go to blueapron.com/BobbyCast. BlueApron.com/BobbyCast if you want to get in on that. And there's, I think there's a box on my counter down there right now. And they come right to the door, too. So part of it is convenience. Love convenience. Love food. You know what else I saw? I did see today, too, that – and I haven't been to either one in a long time. But Burger King is buying Popeyes for $1.8 billion.
Yeah.
Listen, I love Popeyes. When I think of Popeyes – and I haven't been in years. My life used to be – get up at 7:30 for 8 a.m. class, go to school until 2:30 or 3. I also ran the college radio station, so I had 2 hours in the middle of the day that I would slip into my office there and run the college radio station. Drive to my real radio station job an hour away, work until midnight or 1 a.m., depending on when I would get done with commercials, drive an hour back to eat at Waffle House. But every three or four nights a week, I would stop and grab dinner. That was my dinner. It was at Popeye's Chicken. And I think about getting the chicken strips with that Mardi Gras mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, $1.8 billion for that. I do love that. Waffle House. It's funny now. You know, Lindsay and I went to Waffle House for Valentine's Day. First of all, it was fun because we enjoyed just going and it not being hoity-toity. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fun thing to do. And it only cost me $28.
Dang.
Like, don't think that wasn't a cool part of it. Then I have to go blow. Because what restaurants do is they see you coming and they know it's Valentine's Day and it sucks for guys. And they know, oops, sorry, we got a special planned menu. It's $80 a person.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I can't not pay it because I got a girl and I got to show off at least. No. Waffle House was $28 for the whole meal. And so it was amazing. In so many ways, it was amazing. Like, we had a good time. And we had someone show up. There were a lot of listeners there because I was talking about it on the air. And someone brought me a shirt that said, I miss my girlfriend. Did you see me wearing that shirt?
Yeah.
Do you wonder where it came from or did you know?
I saw you when you brought it home, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So because I said on the air that my girlfriend asked me, hey, she was gone for like 4 days. She goes, hey, did you miss me? And I was like, no, not really. And I was serious. I wasn't even joking. Because we weren't gone long enough. 2 weeks after that, probably like, yeah, I did miss you a little bit. 2 weeks, the heart grows fonder. The heart didn't even have a chance to grow fond. Like, the heart was still pretty much in the same spot in that 4 days. It was only 4 days, and I was busy too. And so, apparently that wasn't the right thing to say. You should never. So she brought me a shirt. It was really funny. It said, I miss my girlfriend. I was wearing it today. It was the first time I had it on. But yeah, she brought it to me at Waffle House. So I thought that was fun. I have a couple songs up here. I saw you tweet about Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not a big Lana Del Rey fan.
Yeah.
But I do like this song. I also am not a big Lana Del Rey fan. But, and I haven't heard this song, but there's a song I like. What is the one you have here?
Love.
Okay, here we go.
You get ready, you get all dressed up to go nowhere in particular.
Okay, this sucks, dude.
You don't like it?
Does it get... Does it go down? No, it sounds like everything. It doesn't suck. It doesn't suck. It sounds like everything else, Lana Del Rey.
I thought it was That's why I didn't like her in the past, because it's very slow, very loungy. But for some reason, that song...
I liked it. It could grow on me.
It did grow. Yeah. First, I didn't like it. And I was like, wait a minute, let me hear that again. And then it just kind of...
Like, all her songs sound exactly the same to me. Like, you know what? That being said, I do like Summertime Sadness.
Yeah.
The one song.
But the picked up version or the slower
version? I don't mind the slow version.
Really?
Her dad, and you may Google this, is a former NFL team owner. Maybe the Jets or Giants. Like, she's super rich. She's a super rich family. Yeah, Google Lana Del Rey.
Kiss me hard before you go. Summertime sadness. I just wanted you to know that baby, you're the best. I got my red dress on tonight.
It sounds the same as Love, but I like the hook.
Throw my hair up real big, beauty queen style. High heels off, I'm feeling alive. Oh my God, I feel it in the air, telephone lines.
Say who her dad is? Owner of NFL team or something?
I don't know.
So,
he's a domain developer.
Yeah. He began web domains in 90s, self-made entrepreneur. Type in Lana Del Rey, New York Jets. Because something, she's got some tie to that. Do you ever feel like artists that come from a ton of money, like you're like, you had a net to fall back on, so it was easier for you to go try it, and you respect them a little less. Like, let's just be real. Do you feel that way?
I do. One of the headlines says she didn't receive any money.
I never believed that from rich people.
But even if she did, and she had that, like, whoa.
Even if she got $0, she still had to fall into had she needed it. Any luck there?
Let's see.
Anyway, her dad was low. Always, and it's not a fair thing to say, because whatever. However, it does feel like people that come from rich families, like, they get to go out and do things riskier and not have to worry about it. And so they get to have good equipment and no stress of having to make it or not eat and that kind of thing. It's all right. You know what? It really, somebody's going to tweet anyway. There's some tie with Lana Del Rey and the NFL team. And I don't even know why. Or maybe there isn't. Maybe I'm just nuts. There's a Big Sean song, man, No Favors, with Eminem verse in it.
Yeah.
And I put this online. You see the big fight on Instagram when I put this up?
No.
Holy crap. Like 2 weeks ago, I was like, when you put Eminem on your song, it's not your song anymore. I don't care if it's your song or not. It's not your song anymore because Eminem comes in and destroys whatever you do. And Lil Wayne learned that like 2 years ago. And Eminem came in and said, it was out. And like, Lil Wayne didn't exist anymore on that track. And I think Lil Wayne, Jay-Z and Eminem on the same track, and Eminem, it was like the Eminem show. And so Big Sean comes out, and there's a Ryan, and listen, Eminem's known to go after Big, I'm going to go over 30 a bit, because I've been doing this a while. Eminem's known to go after people in songs. Sometimes he just does it because it gets his name out there, and he's going after Trump in this one. And all I said was, first of all, if Eminem's saying something and you're offended, you just want to be offended at what he's saying right now, because he's been doing this for 20 years. Like, going after the biggest people in politics and pop culture and everything. Like, you just can't get offended about what Eminem says. You either enjoy him or you don't. Like, and all I said was, he's changing his style now that I think he's the greatest rapper of all time. And it's weird to think that Eminem, like a white guy, is the greatest rapper of all time. Just speaking frankly. And I asked Charlamagne, the God who works for the Breakfast Club, I had to put him on the air as a hip-hop guy, because here I am. What do I know? And he was like, you can put him in the conversation for sure. He said, it's taste, but Eminem could be the greatest rapper of all time. And so this is Big Sean with Eminem, No Favors.
And what I need from him, no favors. Click to big break, gotta break it. Because these others low-key with the snake and faking. Everything lined up.
Does he come in and take it?
And what I need from him, no favors.
no favors. If she was flavor, I won't save her. No taste buds, ho. Later. Fuck you looking at, hater. I saw them eyes like an ass raper. Try to copy my swag like a cheating classmate. I'll be the last face you see before you pass when you get your fucking ass graded like a math paper. So ahead of my time, late means I'm early. My age is reversing, I'm basically 30. Amazingly sturdy, zany and wordy, brainy and nerdy. Blatantly dirty, insanely perverted, rapey and scurvy. They blame me for murdering Jamie Lee Curtis. Said I put a face in the furnace, beat it with a space heater. A piece of furniture, egg beater, thermos. It may be disturbing, what I'm saying's cringeworthy, but I'm urinating on Fergie. Call Shady number 81, Shirley, I'm turning into the Aaron Hernandez. A rap state of emergency, the planet's having panic attacks. Brady's returning, matter of fact, I may be deserving of a pat on the back.
Like, come on, man, it's like nobody does this.
Inexplicable stomach growl from the pit of it, like a fucking terrier hitting me.
I'm not even talking about, take the vulgarity out, take out the references to Aaron Hernandez who killed people. Like, there are lots of reasons to be offended. But nobody does what Eminem does, and he's getting better as he gets older. It's crazy.
A clan poster with a lamppost, door handle, shutter, a damn poke cutter, a sandal, a can of butter, a candle, rubber, piano, a flannel, sucker, some hand soap, butter, a banjo, and manhole cover. Hand over the mouth and no smother trample. Ran over the tramp with the Land Rover, the band, the Lambo, Hummer and Roll. Runner go ham, don't nutter go.
The thing about him, he bends words in ways that nobody else does and really didn't do. Now everybody's bending everything, and it's a thing. And it was a thing a little, but he's completely shifted. And two, he rhymes in weird places where people don't rhyme. He'll rhyme in the middle and rhyme in the middle for a while, then start rhyming at the end. And you're just like, whoa, he just completely flipped the whole verse. What Eminem does is it's just the next level. And he consistently brings his game. Like, he's on a Big Sean track. And Big Sean's as legitimate as anyone. Like, when Big Sean puts out new music, everybody's like, oh, Big Sean's putting new tracks. Then you can't put Eminem on it. Click to big bread, gotta break it. But it does show that he has a lot of confidence. Like, I do respect Big Sean for putting Eminem on a song. It would be like me going, I got this new song, I'm gonna put Chris Stapleton on it. He's gonna sing in it with me. Like, this is Chris Stapleton's song from now on. Like, I can't really. But still, like, that's crazy.
And what I need from him, no favors. Click to big bread, gotta break it.
See Olive Garden tweet me, by the way?
I did.
Yeah, they said Bobby Jones.
Wrong name.
Shout out Bobby Jones. Yeah. All right, so we're going to evaluate this audio, make sure it's all good. We got a new gold mic. This is just rolling along. Appreciate everybody who listens to this. Appreciate everybody who listens to the morning show. Just thank you for everything. I'm actually going to head out and go do some yoga now, which, I mean, I'm starting to get okay at. I don't like Lindsay going with me tonight. I don't like going with her that much.
She's good at
it. This is my safe zone. Because they always tell her how good she is, and I'm like the opposite. I'm getting better, but I'm not good. Like, I don't know those words even.
Yeah.
Like, let's get in Kambanapasana. And I'm like, all right, and I'll watch it. And then the next one's like, let's get in Savavkalaksana. I'm like, what the? What did you get? Like, how do you even hear the difference in the words, much less do the different poses? Because they're all ancient Indian. Why can't we just create American words for them? We're in America. We don't have to call them crazy words. It's not like we're having to learn this crazy language. And so they all the time come to me and they adjust my body in front of her, and she smiles whenever they do. Because I come over and be like, okay, and I'll grab my arm like I'm a little boo-boo. It's like, okay, boo-boo, take your move back just a little. There she is. And I'm like, God, I feel so stupid. And then she's over there nailing the pose, and she snickers. Whatever. I get over it. I do have to go work out. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening to the show, like I said. Thanks for listening to BobbyCast. I don't know what we're going to do. People are already talking about the 50th episode. We got to make that big.
Oh.
But I know. Dusty says hello. Speak. Let me hear you. If you're going to talk. Watch this. Sit down. Speak! There you go. Dog works. Hey. Speak! Whatever, dude. He's getting old. He didn't even care anymore. Back in the day, speak like crazy. We'd have full conversations. I'd be like, what up? He'd be like, rah, rah. I'd be like, you good? He'd be like, oh. All right, we're out. Thank you. And I'll see you on the road, funny and alone. I'll see you out this summer and late year. Raging Idiots coming back. Right now we're going through wardrobes. We're going to have matching. We're doing a whole thing now. We're trying to be like the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And like wear the matching clothes. Listen, because if you can't be that good, you might as well look funny. You know what I mean? So there's that, and thank you, and we'll see you guys soon. All right, check.
Don't
see you next time.
Do the same drugs no more.
I do have to say, when Bailey Bryant came in, man, she loves Chance the Rapper. And she started rapping along with No Problem from Chance. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's funny. Like, so if you get a chance, listen to Bailey Bryant, we'll listen to that. You guys have a nice one. Bobby Caslin, 380. Mr. Bobby Bones on Instagram. See you guys. Bye.